Okay, before we jump into the Mishnah, the whole parsha of Erchin is a very, the whole Bamidbar parak, I think it's called Zayin, is very fascinating in that it's all about being makdish, right? It's all the dinim of hektish and pidyon hektish, basically. Being makdish, different things to Hashem. It starts with Erchin, and then it has what if you're makdish a behema, and then it has what if you're makdish a behema tameya, and what if you're makdish a house, and what if you're makdish a field, stay achuza, stay mikna, all those things are discussed later in the perek. Basically, how are you poda, all these kinds of hektish. And then, the very end of the perek is hektish, you can't be poda, I mean, bechor, you can't be poda, and chirim, you can't be poda. And then it gets into maaser, which is, you can't be poda, at least animal maaser. It's all about being makdish things and being poda them. Right? Except perhaps for the beginning of the parak. Right? The beginning of the parak is that Be'al B'nei Yisrael Mertalihem Ishki Aflin De'eder Be'erun Chanef Hashel La'Hashem. If you pledge to Hashem the Erech of Nefashot of people. Obviously, you can't do human sacrifice. So if you pledge the Erech of people, and the Chakira, that all the Achronim discuss by nowadays, is how does the Erechin of Adam, the Seches Erechin, fit into this Perek Chaf Zayin of Vayikra, which is about Hekdish and Pidyon Hekdish? On the one hand, you're not being Makdish anything. You're just giving money. You're just giving money. On the other hand, it has something, Ishki Aflin De'eder Be'erkecha Nefashot La Hashem. It seems like there's some giving of Nefashot to Hashem. So, this is the topic of a celebrated Shilta Giborim in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Shilta Giborim brings down, it's an Agav Urcha of an Agav Urcha there, the Sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel in Hilcha Shabbos. It says Ein Makdishin, Vein Machrimin, Vein Ma'arichim, and it actually says in Beitza, but it's part of Shabbos as well as Hilchas Yontif. Says you're not allowed to be Makdish on Shabbos, and there's a whole discussion there in the Rishonim based on, I'm sure we're familiar with modern day practices, right? You go to Shul on Shabbos and people are Makdish a lot of money. Okay, one of the aspects of the discussion, which is not our topic now, is, you know, who said, you know, maybe there's a difference between Hekdesh and days of Beis HaMikdash, and nowadays we pledge money to shul and use for fields or in place their sale of the aliyot, etc. But the issue of Chananel, that he quoted from Rabbeinu Chananel, is that Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, it's only us to be Makdish Achifetz you do. It's only us to be Makdish Achifetz. That's like Mecha Chomemka. To just say you'll give money to Hekdesh, not a specific, but just to owe Hekdesh money is mutter. So the Ron is the question, Rabbeinu Chananel, it's all quoted in the Shilta Giborim, and says, hold on a second, how can you say it's only us to be Makdish Achifetz, but it's mutter to owe money, to have to pledge money? After all, it says, Ein Marichin, you're not allowed to do Erchin. And Erchin is just owing money. And the Shilta Giborim answers to defend Rabbeinu Chananel. You know, it's, I don't have a better defense of Rabbeinu Chananel, like it's the Shilta Giborim, but maybe that's what Rabbeinu Chananel holds, because it's, you know, I don't have another way to defend Rabbeinu Chananel. He says that no, Erchin is not just pledging, owing money. Erchin is being makdish achefetz. Achefetz yodua. What chefetz am I being makdish? If I say erki a lie, I'm being makdish myself. Oh, so why do I give money? So I'm being makdish myself and I'm being poder myself. Okay, that's the chiddush of the Shilta Giborim, that really all of Bamidbar of Zion is one unit. It's all about when you're makdish things, how to be poder them. The only difference is when you makdish an animal, you might be poded, you might not. When you makdish a field, you might be poded, you might not. When you makdish a person, so given that there's not really another option, so you have to be poded to him. So it looks like you're giving money, but really you're being makdish a person, and then you automatically have to be poded to them. That's the erech. The value is the value that you're poded to them for. This would then be parallel, perhaps, although if you recall last summer, this is also very complex, but certainly parallel on the pshat level to pidyon aben, which is the same amount of money, right? Let's say a 30-day-old boy is five selah, right? What the biblical language is called the shekel, and pidyon aben is 30 days old. You wait till he's 30 days old, and you redeem him for 5 sela. It's a pidyon.
So we have two, perhaps,
Very different ways of understanding. Two very different ways of understanding what erchin are is that you're makdish a person, and then I'm makdish myself and podim myself. Or is it like the Ran thought in his question? Right? I'm just pledging money. Obviously, I'm not just pledging money, meaning clearly it has something to do with the fashot, right? I mean, we're not saying it's just, you know, the guy just woke up in the morning and decided to give 50 sela to tzedakah, so he said Erki a lie. Clearly, I'm being makdish money to be machaper on my nefesh, right? Meaning, I'm being makdish my value because obviously I want to be machaper on myself. But we find that you give money to machaper on yourself, not to shekel. Is giving money to Beis HaMikdash, it corresponds to my nefesh, it's to be machaper on my nefesh. But clearly, I'm not being makdish myself. I'm just giving money to get a zechus for myself. So maybe you're also, the other tzad is, I'm giving money, it's for myself, I want to give my value to Beis HaMikdash to show, you know, to chaper myself, to dedicate, to symbolize dedication myself, but I'm really just giving money for the zechus and kapara of my nefesh, or am I really giving myself and redeeming it with money, like the Shotei Hagiborim says. This might come up in this Sfas Emes that was on the Makor sheet, that I think I might have discussed the Sfas Emes briefly with you, but I think what I said at the time was slightly wrong, so don't hold me to it. The Sfas Emes is based himself, first of all, on a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara Daf Yudalim and Beis wants to know when you redeem a steyachuza. Remember, in Vayikra Chav Zayin, there's a difference between steyachuza and stey mikta, meaning my field I inherit in Dori Doros, and the field I bought, but that's in someone else's family, the Dori Doros. One of the difference is whether it goes back in certain circumstances, but the main difference is, this is not mefurish in Chumash, that a steyachuza is redeemed for a fixed amount, zerach homer sa'rim b'chamishim shekel kesef, and the stay mikna is redeemed, that's what the Gemara says later on, b'shavyo at the market value, whether it be more or less. So the Gemara wants to know, what about chomesh? So the Gemara and Daf, Yudalim and Beis, says, wants to know, everyone knows that if you redeem a stay achuza, you pay chomesh. Right? If you redeem a stay achuza, it says in the Bible, via saf chamishis kesef erka alav become lo, you pay chomesh. Do you have to pay chomesh if you redeem a stay mikna? Okay, interesting question. Rava first has a sfar. The Gemara says right before the Mishnah, tani kvasi d'rav v'lomitame, tani mikhsas erkecha. In the pasuk of stay mikna, it says v'chishul okein is mikhsas erkecha. And therefore, it's a hakishu gazal erchin ma erchin ein mosif chomesh af stei mikna ein mosif chomesh. Just like there's no chomesh for erchin, there's no chomesh for stei mikna. Now the Sfas Emes here is the question. He says, what does chomesh have to do with erchin? Meaning, chomesh has to do with redeeming things, with being poded, right? Chomesh is always pidyon in this context. So erchin, you're not poded anything; you're just giving money. Right, so it's erchin. You're just giving money. You're not being paid anything. So this Gemara now, basically, what it sounds like from this Gemara is that erchin is a pidyon. Erchin is a pidyon without chomesh. So to this can also be a pidyon without chomesh. But is that true? So the Sfas Emes here is interesting. I would have taken this Gemara. I would have said, you know what we see from this Gemara? That Erechin is a pidyon without chomesh. Then it's a valid hekesh. This is a pidyon without chomesh. That's a pidyon without chomesh. But we see Erechin is a pidyon. The Sfas Emes has two pshatim, neither of which are that. What does the Sfas Emes say? One of which is more radical, and one of which just denies the whole premise. Hekisho kazal Erechin, my Erechin, the most of chomesh. Tzarech iyan ma chomesh shaykh be Erechin. What's the shaykh of chomesh in Erechin? Sounds like he's saying, well, what does Erechin have to do with pidyon? So he says, "V'ulai kavanasa, maybe the kavana im amar erich yolai mosif chomesh, v'im amar erich ploni yolai havi ka'acher v'donchak." Maybe what he means is, what's he suggesting here? I think what he's suggesting here is that not only is it a pidyon that you can have a havdin yotovei chomesh, it's a pidyon and there is chomesh. Hold up, but if there is chomesh, then I think that's what he's saying. If there is chomesh, then why does the Gemara say there's no chomesh? It says no. If you're marich yourself, there's chomesh because you belong to you, and there's a rule, right? Only the bailam pays chomesh; a stranger doesn't pay chomesh, right? That's a rule comes up by Metzia about Meiser Sheni, and it comes up in the Mishnayos here about who's podet chila about hektish, that only the bailam pays chomesh and someone else. So I think what he's reading is this: just like an erichin, it's very radical. I would have thought it was a nice enough chiddush to say there's a havmina of chomesh. So then erichin, if I say erki alai, I pay chomesh. If I say erkecha alai, I don't pay chomesh because I'm mine, but you're not mine. Likewise, so just like by erkecha, if I'm marich something that's not mine, I don't pay chomesh. So to by stay mikna, there's a nice lumpus. What's the havmina not to have chomesh and stay mikna? You have chomesh for everything. What's the havmina not to have chomesh when you're put to stay mikna? So his answer is, the havmina not that chomesh, you're supposed to stay mikna because it's not yours. Now, stay mikna means I bought it. I know it is mine in one sense because I bought it fair and square with kesh, shtar, or chazaka. But it's not mine because we're talking about zman sheyovel lohei, and really it's yours. I only bought it temporarily until the yovel, so it's not really mine. So that's the hekesh. Just like erichin, if I say erich of anstreich is on me, since you're not mine, I don't have chomesh. Likewise, stay mikna. If I makdish the field I bought from you, since the field's not really mine, it's really yours, right? Lasher loach u'das haaretz. Therefore, I don't pay chomesh. So that's how he's reading, very radical. There even is, even though it says there's not, there is chomesh in erichin, as long as it's me. Just means there's not chomesh if it's not me, and that's why there's no chomesh in stei achuzah.
Stei mikna. By stei mikna, I understand you bought it, it's not yours, but you have something in it. There's no shyness at all.
Aha, okay, great. Hold that thought for a second. I mean, obviously, someone should have hit me because of that question by now. Forget about the screen. Okay, let's go back to that in a second. Let's just finish the Sfas Emes. Right? Yeah, I get to finish the Sfas Emes before I answer your question. It adds a Sfas Emes. V'dochak. But he thinks this is possible, but dochak. V'yeshloma, v'yoser yeshloma. And he thinks in the end, really, just really done an efshar misha yefshar. Really better is that there's a shita called done in efshar b'she'efshar, meaning you can learn not to do something that would be shayach from some place where it wasn't even shayach. Right? His question was, how does shayach learn no chomesh from erichin? It's not even shayach chomesh and erichin because it's not a pidyon. The answer is no. You can learn a pidyon without chomesh from a non-pidyon without chomesh even. Even though erichin's not a pidyon, you can still learn from there stay mikna. Oh, how can you learn from erichin? That's not a pidyon at all. How can you learn from stay mikna, which is a pidyon? Done in efshar mishi efshar, you're allowed to learn that something doesn't apply where it should have applied, even from some place where it wasn't shayach in the first place and it was just a silly idea in the first place. Okay, that's machlokas and drushes. We'll take his word for it. What we said then is, if we want to know what erichin is erichin just a neder damim, and obviously lechaper al hanefesh, meaning philosophically, it's clearly not a neder damim. Shudr shal mikra, I'm not just not pledging money, it's something to do with me. But okay, that could just be the kapara, the iloi nishmas. It's iloi nishmas of me. You know, you learn a daf gemara, the iloi nishmas, it's the same daf gemara either way. You give tzedakah, iloi nishmas, it's the same tzedakah either way. And it's like shalom. It's very nice that shalom corresponds to my nefesh, mechaper my nefesh, but the kedusha of shalom is just giving shalom. Or is it hekdesh gufo upidyon? If we want to start bringing rayas from shas, we can have erchin hekdesh midelo. Let's say chomesh. What about chomesh? Chomesh is the obvious litmus test for pidyon. So here we would say, like the Sfas Emes second answer, that it's not really shayach to talk about chomesh, and done in efshar Efshar, even though it was not really Efshar to have Chomesh anyway, and it was not really Hav, I mean, you can still learn that as opposed to the Pashup Shot, which is that it's Shayach Lahosef Chomesh. Aval HaTorah Patra, that's the Pasha Pshat. It is Shayat Yivchomish the Pig. It was her Patra. You sell to the Torah Patra, you can stay Mikna. Or even more radical, this is tremendous Kiddush, Sfas Emes, the first day, which says that Mosif Chomesh Al Irach Atzmo. And that Gemara just meant you're not Mosif on Irach of your friend. Like a statement that belongs to your friend. Very radical. Some of the, I wouldn't build too much on this. There's a famous problem that the scholars deal with, was that the Rambam says in the Mor Nebuchim, and the one that's in the brackets explicitly, that the Erech for a 20-year-old man is 60 Sela. Which is against the first Pasuk. So I saw that some of the scholars want to say, maybe hell, like this Sfas Emes, that you add Chomesh, and then 50 becomes 60. It's not so posh, because halachically Chomesh is a quarter of the Keren, not a fifth. Okay, doesn't bother the scholars as much, I guess. That would fit, but it's so difficult anyway that I would not bring a riot from that. I just don't know what the Rambam could have meant by that. But if he meant 60, including Chomesh, which wouldn't fit the context so well, but if that's what he meant, then he would definitely be on this side. Now, Morty asked the obvious question, which is, there's actually two obvious questions. This is the more difficult one. What are you talking about, Pidyon and Hekdesh? Teinach Erkiolai makes sense. Teinach Steyachuzah Steymikna makes sense. Maybe Steymikna isn't mamish mine, the Choldavar V'inyan, but it's mine enough that I can be Makdesh, my Zechuyos. But how can I say Erkiolai? Right, the Shulchan Gemara says, I'm makdish myself and poda myself. But how can I be makdish you and poda you? I have no right to be makdish you. How do I have the right to be makdish you? That's a strong question. So that is the discussion of Rav Yosef Engel in the very, very Leibniz Sefer Gvur Shmonim. Rav Yosef Engel, I have to say, he knew how to have fun. Gvur Shmonim, it's nice reading. I started going through it once. I only made it through the first, I didn't make it through all 80. It's 80 answers to a question that, not the kind of question that existentially bothers people and keeps them up at night, but the kind of question that's, you know, just a lot of fun to think about, which is, according to Yossi Rehuda, it's not our topic at all, who says that the Bailim can have Machsheves Pigel, so every woman who's a Sota should just think to eat her Mincha tomorrow. The mincha will be pigel, it'll be pasul. If the mincha is pasul, then the water doesn't work, and she will be able to get away with it. Okay, so you have 80 different answers. It's something like if you have free time once, and you're just interested in, in getting hanan olam hazeh, then it's later to go through. I'll tell you the secret now. The 80 answers, really a lot of them are the same. Just different variations. He discusses here, he brings up this issue, the Shilta Giborim, like the 20th century Achronim loved this Shilta Giborim. He brings up the Shilta Giborim, and he says, we prove from here, he's just using it to prove something for himself, on Einon Oser Dabrish Einu Shalom, he basically wanted to prove that really you can make a halos on someone else's property as long as the Nafgamina is only for you. And he says, the model of that is, this Shilta Giborim is really Nedarim, right? Erech is a Neder. I can say my property is also Rana, it's also Rana to me, it's also Rana to you, it's also Rana to everyone. I can even say your property. I can't say your property is also Rana to you, because that's ridiculous. But I can say your property is also Rana to me. And Neder is an Isser Chetza, right? So I can make a Halos on your Chetza, as long as it only affects me. I can make a Halos on your Chetza, as long as it only affects me. He points out that the Mishnah Melech says that perhaps there would even be me'ila if I made a neder on your nechasim and then I was nene from it anyway. If I say all your nechasim is asurbanah to me and I ate it anyway, I'm not even chayiv me'ila. Maybe I really could put some kedusha on your... Okay, what's the son of the suffering of Mishnah Melech? There's more than one way to understand, but Rabbi Yosef Engel wants to say in the Gvur Shmonim that I can, nedarim proves that I can create a chalos kedusha on your property, as long as it doesn't impinge on your rights and only obligates me. Right? As long as the nafkamina is only for me, I can make kedusha on your property. And therefore, Yosef Engel says, that's shot in the Shilta Giborim. Oh, the Shilta Giborim didn't know that you could be married to someone else. I mean, it's obvious you could be married to someone else. Right? I mean, the Chumash says there's an heir to a 30-year-old baby. He wasn't married himself. Someone else was married him. Right? So it's obvious you could be married to someone else. So what was Joseph Gemara thinking? He was thinking you can make a kedusha and a halos on someone else's property. You can be makdish someone else's property, but only in a way that is mechayev you and not mechayev him. And the only two examples are neder isra hanah on me, because neder isra hanah could be on one person, which I can do on your property, and erchin. And therefore he makes a pattern, and he says, in fact, there is such thing as being makdish, making an isra heft on someone else's property, as long as it doesn't pinch on their rights. It's a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush. But that's what he says. Okay. Obviously you see how, one of the, problems, erich of someone else, and the Gevurah Shmonim answers that it's just like Nidarim, that I can answer your property on me. Here, what am I doing? I'm being makdish you, that I have to be poda, not that you have to be poda. So since it only obligates me, I can, yes.
That's not really, because when you have hanah from somebody else's stuff, you're then having hanah on the part of it that you take to you. It's not like you're putting it on his thing.
No, but it's chal right away.
I'm using your pen. I'm using that pen. It's partially mine already. I've taken it into my property, and
Not necessarily. Meaning, I could be mudar enough from your karka, and then I can't walk on it, even though I haven't taken it to my rishus at all.
I'm not taking out your shoes, but since you're on it already, you have your dalet amos. You have a little something.
I don't know. I'm not convinced that if I walk through your yard, I have anything. Okay, he said, just like the Nidarim, and this is tremendous chiddush, I can create a chalos on your property if only I lose out. Okay,
you don't have to go that far. I mean, you could understand even the Rambam without going that far. And you could understand that it's still an Isur Gavra and treated as an Isur Gavra.
Okay, let me come back to that in a second. The other obvious question is, I'm not hektish. If I say Erki Alai, meaning I'm not hektish, right? Meaning I'm not Usur Hanah, right? Even if I'm married myself, Erki Alai, I just owe the money. I'm not actually Usur Hanah. I'm not allowed to work for myself. Right. Clearly, there is no chalos isr hanah. There's no me'ila in the person. So the other strange thing is that we actually don't find kedush in the person. There is no isr hanah in the ne'erach, right? That's the lashon in the ne'erach. So what do you mean this kedush that has to be podeh, right? There's no isr hanah in this ne'erach. So, that's discussed less by the Achronim, but Lachori, you have to say one of two things, probably the second, which would not work as well for the Rambam. Lachori, you have to say one of two things. Lachora, you have to say either it's a rock, Le'inyan Dmei Pidyono. Maybe. There is Kedusha in the Gavra, but not Kedusha in his guf, only Kedusha for Dmei Pidyono. Meaning, unlike when I say, I'm Makdish, a horse to the Beis HaMikdash to sell and use the money, then there's Me'ila in that horse because it can be sold, etc. But over here, I would say even, let's say even better. The simpler, right? Is.
Wouldn't it be easier to do that if it wasn't a fixed amount? With chavero, it certainly with that's mechas kalvachom lechavero. It's a fixed amount. If it's not a fixed amount, then I understand that you're going to do evaluation. You can do the kedusha. When sacha kol, there's a bill to pay. That's a certain amount. Why trade it as a kedusha altogether?
Okay. Why? Well, Sylvie Berm had his reason. He said so.
He did that only on yourself.
But keep in mind, it's not a fixed amount. There's a concept of hesagad, right? It could actually be any amount. The Kohen can decide it's any amount, right? It's whatever I can afford. Which certainly, meaning if I made an eder of davim, I should have made a fixed amount. If it's whatever I can afford, it sounds like I was mocked or something, and then you can be posed it for whatever you can afford because we can be flexible with values. Anyway, probably the simplest answer I just realized is that you can answer that since Hekdesh can't actually use my guf. So therefore, there's no Isser Hana in my guf. Everything else, I'm makdish something, Hektish can actually use it physically or sell it. Over here, Hektish can't sell my guf because I'm not an Eved, and Hektish can't use my guf because I'm not necessarily, I didn't promise to work, and also I'm not an Eved. So it could just be that there's no Isser in my guf because even though there is Kedushas Damim in me, but since I'm not useful, only my money is useful, so there's only Yisra Anan, Kavshi Hashem, and things that are useful to Hashem. Right? There's only Yisra Anan, Hektish useful to Hashem, for example. Right? If I'm Makdish Kaffer Nolan, it drops dead, there's no Yisra Anan, because it's not useful for Hashem anymore. Because technically you can't do anything with it. Or there's no Yisra Anan, Doraisa. If the guy's Makdish Kaffer and he dies, there's no Yisra Anan, Doraisa, because it's not useful for Hashem anymore. See, that doesn't, fact that there's no Yisra Anan, my guf is not necessarily a problem, because it's not useful for anything, because the Beis HaMikdash can't sell me to get money. They can only wait for me to cough up the money.
So that would be, like you'd be useful.
Hmm?
It could be useful. The Eved could use it.
Ah, okay, but since it's only Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas Aguf, since it's only...
Slavery, right?
What?
Let's say it could be that you would sell something to, like, they would sell you slavery.
Okay, but, you know, we can understand that once they don't have that right, meaning once the Beis HaMikdash only has the right to the money, not to actually utilize me, and once, you know, I'm Ben Chorin, I can't necessarily be sold, and Imkar only B'Gnevaso, below B'Hekdesho, so I can live with that. If you want, you can also say other things. You could say maybe it's like as if I was Makdash and Poder right away, and then I owe the money.
Isn't Chalai also a problem if you assume Mechaper al HaNefesh? Or if you take any random amount, and any amount can be Kapara for a person?
I can pay your Shkolim to Mechaper for you. I could bring a Chat, pay your Chatas for you.
Oh,
so I can pay your HaNefesh for you.
Are you doing it for the other person?
Pashta, simple shot. Yeah, simple shot is, you know, whenever someone has a kid, and the kid is very sick, and he recovers, he says, oh, I'm going to give the Erech HaNefesh, based on Mikdash, you know. That's the Pashup shot. Yeah, Mechaper on that person. Okay. Now, it's a big Chiddush, the Shilta Yiborim. I mean, if it wasn't in the Shilta Yiborim, I wouldn't have said it. It's a big Chiddush, but it's out there. And once you have the Chomish idea of the Svas Emes, you know, the first day of the Svas Emes, it really seems to be more reasonable. One of the other places where this, and there's a few Gemaras. In Chomish, never explicitly says Erechim is Pidyon. But there's a few Gemaras that associate Pidyon with Erechin, such as this one, and even more so, the famous Gemara, those of us who are here all year for Ksubas, recall this Gemara, but it's also in Daf Vav and Beis, in Erechin, right? How do we know if someone's Yotzei Liharig, right? Someone's Chayv Mises Bezdin, and I say, Erecho Alai, I don't have to pay. How do we know? How do we know there's no Erech?
Kol
Chayra Sheyach Raman Hadam. Anyone sentenced to death by Erechin? Lo Yipadam Mosimus. He died, and he's not nifta. Okay, there's another Tana who reads it more kipshuto. You can't just pay to get him out of the justice system. But lo yipadeh means there's no erech. So Chazal darshan lo yipadeh to mean there's no erech. That would seem to imply that erech is a type of that erech is a type of pinyos. This is erech in the bavam beis, the drushas lo yipadeh. That definitely mashmeh. The Erechin, who Pidyon, it definitely sounds like Erechin is Pidyon. It says, lo yipad, that means there's no Erech. Of course, what if you held it wasn't really Pidyon? You would just say that it's a remez bialma. After all, drushes aren't always pashup shot. It means lo yipad, that Pidyon is giving money. So if it doesn't mean Pidyon, it means another kind of giving money. You know, drushes don't necessarily have to be exact.
You have that as a raya for the Hekdesh Gufa?
This Gemara?
Yeah.
Okay, so hold that thought for a moment. Well, I mean, how Panag it does. No, it's not. You're mixing up different sukkah. No. Oh, no, I think you're mixing up Parshas Matos and Parshas Bamidbar, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, but here you can take a look. Another sugya came up, I apologize here, just pass this out, that I forgot to put on the Makorah sheet. But there's a fascinating Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Tes I'll just read it to you, and then you can look at what's passed out. Nasa Omer, Nasa Se'er Chavayom Kodesh L'Hashem, Ma Talmud Lomar. Why did it say you give the Erech? L'fisha Matzin Bekdesh, L'maiso, Shem Shalom Valsha, B'chulin, Nignivu, Sh'avdu, Enechayim, Mechri, Yusan. We find that, that Hekdesh and Meiser, if you're poed the Hekdesh and Meiser onto money, and the money gets stolen or lost, you're okay. If I have Hekdesh and I'm poed it onto money, and the money gets stolen or lost, I'm still okay. If I have Meiser, I'm poed it onto money, the money's stolen or lost, still okay. I'm not Chayiv Achri Yusof. Yachalav Zekain, you might think Erechin also, I'm not Chayiv Achrayas. Once I put the money on the table, that's good enough. Nope. It's not a mitzvah of Erechin. It's not Hekdesh till I actually hand it over to the Beis HaMikdash. You mean Nesina. Okay, what's the Hav mean? And the Hav mean is fascinating. The Hav mean is just like Pidyon, Hekdesh, and Meiser. As soon as I say this money is Kadosh, this money is Meiser, it's good enough. Erechin also, as soon as I say this money is Erechin, it's good enough. Kamashlan, I have to actually give it. Tosus asks here. He first proves, I'll just read the last 13 words of Tosos. But he first proves that this din that it's enough to just separate the money for Pidyon is specifically talking about a case of Pidyon. Says the MK Makar Yochlov Zakain. What's the hav meaning that Erech is like Pidyon Hekdesh and Meiser? Heich Doma Erech leHekdesh and Mischalo. How is Erechin like Hekdesh that was Mischalo? Mischalo is Pidyon. How is Erechin like Hekdesh that was transferred onto money? Erechin's not like Hekdesh that was transferred onto money. Now, of course, what would we answer Tosa's question? We would answer Tosa's question, according to Shulchan Gibor, it works very nicely. Erechin is exactly like Hekdesh that was transferred onto money. It's a great Havamina. Just like if I'm Makdesh this book and I transfer it onto a 5 shekel coin, it is, I'm Yotze, as soon as I put that 5 shekel coin down and transfer the Kedusha, you might have thought if I'm Makdish myself and transfer myself onto a 50 seller coin, I'm Yotze as soon as I transfer onto the 50 seller coin. Okay, Kamashlo, but since clearly the Pshad of the Gemara, Chulin, Kofla Mites, I'm an Aleph, which is Divayon, the comparison, Le. Chilul, Hekdesh. Well, Meiser, here Toso says, right? It's not similar. Okay, he leaves the Gemara a little bit sort of Ion, but Toso clearly thinks it's not a kind of Pidyon. But the Pshat of the Gemara is that Erechin is also a Pidyon, or Chilul is the another phrase. That we use particularly when it comes to Meiser. On the Pshat of the Gemara, well, the Tosfos Rosh begins to say this at least. He says, Yochlav Zekein, im Amar, Harini Be'erki lo yechai bach Yusuf, Chinami, Yomar Erki Alai, Hariroi Ledamos, Amar Erki Alai, Hariroi Ledamos, Lehekdish, Shenis Chalal. It would be fit to compare it to Hekdish that was redeemed. Ki Adome Bami Kok Erech Al Katzval Aguf, because this money is for the fixed price of your guf. He doesn't go so far as to say it's a Pidyon, but clearly, this would fit the Tosos Russian Chulin, who says it is a valid comparison. That's money for something, and this is money for something, even though he doesn't necessarily, say explicitly that it is a Pidyon. Of course, one could also say that's not happening, and what's the Maskana? One could ask that question, yes.
What happens if I say the pledge when I'm 59, but I give the money when I'm 61?
Okay, that's a great question. It's actually a first Mishnah. Later on, that I give the amount for a 59-year-old. I give the amount for a 59-year-old in that case, if I'm giving the amount for a 59, well, if... Okay, this is going to be a very, 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 very fascinating question. Certainly, that would imply that I'm just pledging money. Because right now, I pledge the amount for a 59-year-old. By the time I get around to giving the money, the fact that I'm 61 doesn't make a difference. So that would certainly imply,
unless you say it's pulled it right away.
Unless you say it's like an immediate pidyon, or right, or maybe it's as if I was makdish and poed it immediately. If you take that that formulation, as Jonathan very, very correctly points out. then that would make it a little better. Maybe it's a pidyon, but it's as if I was pulled there really right away and then I just owed the money. Of course, normally you can't be pulled out to owing money. You have to be pulled out to concrete money, but perhaps you can make an exception. I just wanted to make one ha'ara about that question. But I might not be able to find it right now. Here we are. Yeah. That is a very good point. I mean, if it's really a pidyon, it should depend how old I am when I pay the money. Unless you unless you want to say it's as if there's a virtual pidyon right away and not a pidyon later when you give it. Which would be, I guess, the way out of it. But that is a, you know, how that, what is the lashon of the Mishnah? The lashon of the Mishnah is, on Daf Yud Ches, oh no, it is, where was it?
Really ask the question, but did you not bend though?
What?
Let's say the guy's pulled himself picking a bed when he's in
his job. Okay, Beseder. Then clearly he only pays 5 slime. Okay, that is going to be a, this seems to be good proof. What would be a good proof? The proof would be that Shanim is Kishas Nidra. Right, you go by his age when he made the Neder, right? And this is difficult. If you go by his age and you made the neder, obviously he's not being paid himself when he pays. Because then he should have to be paid himself what he's worth at the time he's paid himself.
That means Pidyon and Ben also goes in the right column, but that's called Pidyon.
Right? So unless you answer that it's like or believe this a little bit, but Sarkhian, we have a whole summer to think about it. Adi's been already thinking about it. We'll have to think about that more. That's a that seems to be a strong proof. I will admit, by the simple shot, is that it's not really, really a pidyon. Another case this comes up, and then I want to mention the Chazon Ish, is the interesting discussion of Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch deals with whether you can be chozer tokhti deeper. He has the whole word in the Rambam, that can you be chozer tokhti deeper from hektish? It depends whether you're makdish a cheftza or you're just pledging money. If you're pledging money, you can be chozer. If you're makdish a cheftza, you cannot be chozer. And therefore, Yosef?
It's a previous question. Rashi seems to hold it by Domin also, the Sora would have meant to give based on the Shas and Neder, just that we can determine what the Domin is. And it's only Sora that we don't do that.
No, that supports the question. Meaning, a neder, damim, which is probably more like just pledging money, you go by shas haneder. So, by erchin, you go by shas haneder. Then that would work well if it's just a neder of damim. Not what we call it. I don't mean like what we call a neder of damim, which is a value. I mean, okay. So that will leave a little bit sarki. And another nafsimina might be the minchas chinuch discussion of chazara. Toch kidei dibur says the minchas chinuch yachol lachzor toch kidei dibur kimo noder damim. That's the minchas chinuch. Says you can't be chozer toch kidei dibur just like someone who pledged money because you're not being makdish chetzi yadua. In the footnotes, the Machon Yerushalayim minchas chinuch, they quote from the Gur Aryeh Yehuda by the son of Renachem Zemba, who argues because of the shilti kiborim. Okay. I actually looked it up, and he wasn't talking about that at all. He did agree with the Shulchan Aruch, but he wasn't talking about the same topic at all. So actually, that what says in that footnote is not true, but nonetheless, meaning you could easily say, you could argue and say, "Eino yachol lachzor kimo makdish chifetz," which the footnote of Minchas Chinuch, meaning the nice one, quotes from the Gur Aryeh Yehuda, but if you want, you can look at the Xerox. It's not true, he says to me, that sort of sounds similar if you're just looking for a few code words, but it's actually talking about something completely different. Okay, the Chazon Ish deals with this as well in the beginning of Erchin. The Chazon Ish, he deals with it from the other side. He says, well, the Havmina is that you're just pledging money. Right? So your first part, your first havmin is, you're just pledging money. Right? This is the Shilta Yiborim. This is the Chazan Ish, at least in his Havamina. Says you're just pledging money. It's just a shorthand way of pledging money. Obviously, he knows you're pledging money for maybe a chaper at someone's nefesh, right? It's not. You're just, philosophically, you're pledging money for a certain reason. But halachically, you're just pledging money. And he says, if you're just pledging money, and therefore you're pledging money in accordance with the value of this guy. So why is there doing Hesed Yad that you only give what you can afford? The answer is you pledge money, and that's al tanai that you only give how much you could afford. Okay. So that's meaning you pledge money, al tanai of, you know, whatever it says in that parsha, there's a kula of hesed yad. And then he says in Gimel, he rejects that in the end. He says, A, he doesn't like that because then there's not really a mitzvah of erechin. Right? There's no mitzvah of erechin. Erechin is just an attempt to pledging money. And what about what's the mitzvah of erechin? Okay, you could say there's no mitzvah of erechin. It's just happens to be a ground rule. But the main reason he doesn't like that is because there's machlokes in the famous base. I always forget which is Rabbi, which is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says a goy cannot pledge erechin. Ain't no marech. Says if it's just giving money, why can't a goy give money? Right? If it's just giving money, why can't the guy give money? So that's where he really changes his mind. He says if it's just giving money, he doesn't understand why a guy shouldn't be able to do it. Therefore he concludes that Venire the Inyan Ha'erchin, he says something a little bit cryptic, She'enuchem the Nedr Sachakot. So it's not as if you pledged money, or even you pledged money with the condition that you only give what you can afford. Like the Zeros, right? There's a famous discussion. What is the neder of the Zeros? We discussed this. Anyone's here for Yavamos? Is it that I'm asking wine on myself? Is it that I'm promising to bring carbonos to the Zeros? Is it that I'm pledging not to do X, Y, and Z and Toma and this and that, etc.? Or says the Chazanish, no, Nizeros is a promise that I'll keep the parsha of Nizeros. It's a promise that I'll do the parsha of Nizeros. So too he says, Erchin is a neder that I'll keep the parsha of Erchin, and therefore it's a real mitzvah of Erchin, that if I make a neder of Erchin, I have to do the parsha of Erchin, which is his own parsha, and I have to do whatever it says in the parsha of Erchin. On the one hand, it's a shot that's so good because everything automatically fits into the Chazanish's shot. Because if the nature of Erchin is that my neder is to do the mitzvah of Erchin, then by definition, whatever we see in shots about Erchin fits his shot, which is an advantage and perhaps a disadvantage as well. If I wanted to take this Chazan Ish a little further, says the Chazan Ish, maybe I'll take some of his lashon. He says it is nitfas b'mitzvas ha'erchin. Right. Nitfas the mitzvahs ha'erchin. It's to do the mitzvahs erchin. It's not to give the money. It's to do the mitzvahs erchin. Of course, practically, it means I give them. I mean, it's not that I'm pledging money. I'm not pledging money. But I'm pledging a chefza. I'm pledging a mitzvahs erchin, a parshas erchin, just like the zeros. You're not pledging to do any particular concrete thing. You're pledging to do the zeros. Likewise here, you're pledging to do erchin. It's a parsha of erchin. It could very well be that. I don't know what the Chazanish meant by this is just, that ends the conversation. It's the parsha of Erchin, no further discussion necessary.
So it doesn't matter if it's him or somebody
else. Yeah, the parsha of Erchin. And there's no nafkaminas anymore, right? Because everything fits into the parsha of Erchin. That's what it says in the parsha of Erchin. But perhaps if we wanted to add to the Chazanish, which is not what he's trying to say, and this is going to be if someone accuses me of nostalgia, being reminiscent of some of the things we ended last summer with, I will plead guilty. But maybe you could say, based on the Chazan Ish, so what is this? Why is it this Parsha of Erechin? I mean, it's not like Parsha of Naziris. Parsha of Naziris, I understand. There's a certain experience of Naziris, which is a package deal. It's built in a certain way to create a certain experience of Kedusha, of a Nazar El Kaval Rosho. But what is the Parsha of Erechin? Maybe what he... I wouldn't even go so far as to say what he means. Maybe what we could say is that he's trying to walk somewhere in between. Meaning what he's saying is intuitively, saying your mamish makdish the guf is going a little far. I know the Shulchan Aruch says it, but it seems to be going a little far. After all, then you have to be able to be makdish someone else's guf, which is a chiddush. Rabbi Yosef Engel says it, but that's never steered being a chiddush. And you have to figure out what it means to makdish the guf, since we don't actually see any concrete hekdush on the guf. There's no surrender, there's no be'il on the guf. It seems to be going a little far. On the other hand, we seem to have rise in Shas. The Chazal looked at it as a type of pidyon. Lo yipada is referring to erchin. The comparison to pidyon hektish umaiser and chulin, and the comparison to pidyon of stay mikna and erchin daf yudalit, clearly sort of some pidyon, not just as stam giving money, but on the other hand, we didn't seem to see it as some real hektish. And maybe the advantage of saying parsha of erchin is that the parsha of erchin is unique in that usually you're either giving money or you're giving chefta. And if you give the chefta, you could trade it for money. Here, clearly it's not giving money. It's more than that. It's giving a person. But clearly it's not giving a person. It's less than that because you can't give people. So the special parsha of Erchin is maybe that you have to do a pidyon of someone even though they're not actually hektish. That's, whoever heard it, you have to do a pidyon of someone they're not actually hektish. Adi, you ever heard you have to do a pidyon of someone who's not actually kadosh? Pidyon of Ben! So we saw some radical shitas last summer in our Shulchan, etc. Sforno, maybe it was, that the Bechor is kadosh. And he's not allowed to work, he's not allowed to, you know. But that's not mainstream. We all know Bechor goes up without pidyon, he's the same as everyone else. But yet the Torah clearly says you have to be pulled to him, not just you have to stand give money to the Kohen. So, Pasha Pshat, what's Pasha Pshat and pidyon of Ben? You want to be radical, you could say the Ben's kadosh. You want to be radical, you could say it's not a pidyon at all, it's just owing money and it's called a pidyon for no reason. Pashim Shad is that there's a special parsha, you have to be symbolically poed to someone who's not kadosh. Why do we poed to someone who's not kadosh? Symbolically, because they could see as Mitzrayim and the Makas Bechoros and, you know, all the stories that we know since we're 3 years old. So maybe here also, the point is it's a symbolic pidyon. What is the Erkan of Fashos? I want to be deposed to myself or give myself to Hashem or be called or give someone else. I know I can't really do it, but I don't just want to do Le'iloi Nishmas. Meaning, Erkan is not just I want to give Hektish Le'iloi, not Le'iloi Nishmas, Le'kaparis Nishmas, Le'fu Shalema, Le'schus. I don't just want to, I'm donating this, Le'schus my kids, they should, they should grow up healthy. No, I want to do more than that. I want to actually give my, you know, I was saved from lions and bandits. I want to redeem myself, give myself back to pay Hashem back for me. So I really want to do something symbolic. And I think there's also Pshuta Shel Mikra. Pshuta Shel Mikra is the Torah doesn't say it's hektish and pidyon. Because we're not makdish people. Okay, what it means we're makrim people, because I'll discuss. But we're not makdish people. But on the other hand, it's giving nefashos, be'erkecha, ish kiyafli neder, be'erkecha, nefashos. It doesn't say erech nefashos. Erkecha nefashos. Which means it's your erech and it's nefashos. Erkecha is not actually smichot. So it's erech when you have two nouns in a row that are not smichot. It means both nouns are describing the same thing as general. So I think that's the real Pshuta Shel Mikra. And maybe that's what the Chazon Ish means. Or if it's not what he means, it fits in with what he means. What's a special parsha? A special parsha is to symbolically quote something that's not really kadosh. Like Pidyon HaBen for symbolic reasons. That's a symbolic reason that you see as Mitzrayim, and maybe other things also, if you look in the Chinuch. And this is a symbolic reason, so I think that maybe you could take the Chazon Ish to mean that it's a symbolic pidyon without without Hakdoshas Hachefza, and not go quite as far as the Shulchan HaGiborim. And then I think everything is more intuitive, meaning it's very nicha that we have all the lashon of pidyon and chazal, but it's also nicha that we don't have these problems of if there's really kedusha in the chefta, where's the kedusha in the chefta? There's not really kedusha in the chefta. You're being poda anyway. How can you be poda anyway? You can't normally, but that's why there's a special parsha here. And it's not the first special parsha like that in the Torah, it's the second special parsha, because that's also Pashup Shah in, Pidyon HaBen.
Are you bringing it closer to the Sfasemis now? That it doesn't really need a Pidyon?
Are you working
in that area?
No, you need a Pidyon, but not because the heck, the
but it's not a Pidyon Chomish. There's no Chomish.
Why is there no Chomish? So either maybe there could be a Chomish. maybe there could be a chomesh, or if there's no chomesh, maybe it's like Xeris Agasa, that there's only chomesh when you're taking away Kedusha, not when you're being potent. Not so crazy.
There is a Pidyon by Cherub in the same part, so, like what you still have and Jonathan.
You know,
I mean, there's
that kind
of
figure
of
Hektish.
I mean,
there's
getting him out and getting killed.
Okay, no, but there was a halos on the Chefza. Meaning that,
Chazal's Kolchir and Loyu. No, because one of the things is you can have a halos without being a halos of Kedusha.
Correct, but there, there's a halos that had an afkamina on the guf. And that people had a right to put on the guf. Here, you're right, you can have a halos, not a halos Kedusha. Meaning you could say, it's a halos of Pidyon Erchin. But then it becomes very subtle. Okay, yes.
Yeah, what is the makor for the din of Hesed Yad? The Torah gives specific amounts.
Oh, the Torah also says Hesed Yad. Torah says, V'yimachu me'er kechav, v'yidoluf ne'er kohen, v'yirichol so'a kohen, al pi'asher pasig yad, halon der, y'er kena kohen, to before as possible. We wouldn't have thought of it on our own.
Chazon Hashiva, could that be for Rabbeinu Hanano, if it's Shulchan Giborim or not, so it's not
that you know, this Moshon Shulchan Giborim doesn't sound that way. If you would want to stretch, you could say, since we're dealing with a chepta and it's only a matter of nira kamekumekur anyway, there could be a nira and at least support Rabbeinu Hanano, but I don't think the Shilchi Gemara. I mean, I don't think Shilchi Gemara means that the Chazon Ish. Could you get Rabbeinu Hanano into the Chazon Ish by saying it's all a matter of borderline nira kamekumekur and this is enough to be nira, maybe? Okay, now let's start the, now this, we're not done with this question. Basically, this chakir is going to underline many things we'll see throughout the Masechet. I'll let you in on a little secret here. There's Achronim with Sfarim with Marachos of 30 pages where they go through all of Shas and put everything that you mean to 80 Nafkaminas in this chakira and try to work out the Lushi Tasseis. It doesn't really work so well. You really go through Shas, try to find all the Nafkaminas, and the answer is you're not going to clearly find anyone on the one radical side, clearly find anyone on the other radical side, which... You know, whatever. I mean, I would have liked to say otherwise, but that's the truth. But for the Chazon Ish, you know, once you take a middle approach, it's really not bad. It's a pidyon, but not an actual pidyon, a symbolic pidyon. And then you could see that in some sugyas that have an afkamina, not an afkamina radically two different universes. An afkamina, to what extent do we emphasize the pidyon aspect, or does something depend on that there is a pidyon? But on the other hand, it's not a real pidyon, it's not being pulled to actual kedusha, and therefore you could see on different sugyas. And no one's going to end up consistent here. The Rambam's not going to be consistent. The Rosh is not going to be consistent. And people spill a lot of ink and break a lot of quills over that. And the answer probably is, because once you say like Chazon Ish, the answer is somewhere in between. So for some Nafkaminas, it will be like a Pidyon of Hektish. And for some Nafkaminas, it will be not like a Pidyon of Hektish. Because it's a Pidyon of non-Hektish. It's a, you know, it's a unique Parsha. The Hechi takes a unique Parsha. Chazon Ish says, because there's Taka, a unique Parsha. Yes, and then we'll go on.
By reading the Pesukim in general, the Torah doesn't feel, you don't feel anything about Chomish. In other words, it's if the mitzvah is, this is the age, the money, pay it.
Pashup Shad is there should be
no
Chomish.
Chomish
Pashup Shad is to be Pashup, there's no Chomish. This Vas Emes is radical, Sheba radical.
Put Chomish in here is very, very difficult.
Right. To put Chomish as a Havavina that is not true is not so bad. But to put Havavina as Chomish as a Din, I admit, this Fas Emes is a ridiculously... no, it's not a nice way to put this Fas Emes. It's exceedingly radical. It's exceedingly radical. I went back and forth over the last couple of month or two whether he really meant it or not. But it's exceedingly radical. But okay, there are radical Shitas out there, I admit. Okay, let us then start the Masechet. Those who just joined us for the summer will learn... That when it comes to deciding the length of my shiur, I respect neither the Eighth Amendment nor the Geneva Convention. So the Mishnah says, "Hakol marichen v'nerachim." Nodr v'nidarim. Right, erech means the fixed amount of the Torah. Nedr means when I pledge just the actual value. Kohanim v'vim yisraelim nashim v'avodim tumtum v'anj. Period. Take Zeres Akasim, that since the Erech depends on your gender, Zachar and Nekeva, therefore we learn from the extra word in the Zeres Akasim a little later in the Perek, in a couple daf, that it's only an Zachar Vaday and Nekeva Vaday, therefore Tumtum Androgodus can do everything except Nerach, because they don't fit into any of the values of the Chumash. No, that's just what's talked about in the Chumash. No, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If I pledge amounts of money that's not an amount, then I'm also potter. That doesn't bother me. If I say, al o hektish, the amount of dollars that's a number written down in this envelope, there's no number in the envelope, But I don't know anything. Seder.
But if it's money, so an Adjoven is at least in the cave.
No, because it's Xeris Agassiv.
Okay.
No, we all admit it's not the value, it's an assigned value. So there's no assigned value. His assigned value, or her, or its assigned value. Nowadays, there's a lot of books written about the proper pronouns. I don't know what they are. They invented a lot of new pronouns. People in America know. Is zero. Okay. Okay, that's pretty posh. They can, you can pledge them, but they can't do anything because they don't have das. They can't be makdish anything or sell anything. Tosas has an interesting discussion here in Divrei Maaseil Noshim Ba'avadim. First he just discusses technically how Noshim Ba'avadim can pay. They don't have any money. So he says, okay, either they'll pay later, or there's a concept of, according to many shitas, you can give even an eved money on the condition that his adam has no rishus in it, so they can have money for seder. Then he discusses a little later, the eved afgav the gabi mitzvah sheishul din ishal if he erech zacharu nerach. Tosa says the suffix. He's clearly bothered by the suffix. What's the erech of an eved? Let's say he's 20 to 60. Is the erech 50 or is his erech 30? On the one hand, he's male. On the other hand, lo la me'isha. We have a gzera shava, then eved has the dinim of isha. So he says he's pretty sure that an eved had the erech of a zachar. Why? It's a weak proof. It says the Tana never it would have said somewhere in Shas if he had the erech of an isha. Since it doesn't say anywhere in Shas, then Masami is the erech of a zachar. I mean, Tosas knows that this is not a very strong proof. That it's not a knockout proof, but Tosfos holds, because after all, Stimus HaShas is always tricky. If it doesn't say anything, then it must be what? Must be, well, whatever makes common sense, which is in the eye of the beholder somewhat. Okay, but Tosfos thinks an Eved has an Erech of a Zohar. Yes?
It has to be, I mean, it has to be the Yuvim. I mean, how could the Baal be Moser his Eved to a Shifra if you hold he was an Isha?
Ah, okay. Morty does have a good point. Meaning, obviously you can't take la-la me'isha to an extreme. Obviously you can't take la-la me'isha to an extreme, because then, you're not going to say when you mishka zachar the Evans and Isha. So that is definitely true. You're not going to take it to an extreme. But I think you are making an interesting assumption there.
On the other hand, you can't say that it has to do with his working value, because we know that in Erechim, we don't really care about his working value, it's assigned value. And once it's assigned, it can be arbitrarily assigned against the laws of nature.
Okay, that yesh ladon harbe.
I mean, I would say that very opposite, that what you learn in the Havmi to does not admit so, then we would think that the value assigned to Erechim has nothing to do with mitzvah, has to do with your productivity.
Okay, good. This is exactly what I wanted you to say.
More because
this is exactly what I wanted you to say. But on all sides. Here I'm gonna. I looked at a few modern day svarim. I actually downloaded a whole bunch of modern day svarim and erechim from HebrewBooks.org onto my hard drive. Looked through the first few pages, deleted most of them, but kept a couple. Kept a couple of really good ones. Turns out most of the good modern day svarim and erechim are written by people whose last name is Soloveitchik. That sounds so much too much. What can you do? That's a Rasora. Right, the Brisker of Son also says Sarman and all Kutcha, where he expands a little on his father. So first let's see what the Rishonim is saying, then we'll come back to this. Morty has a good point, meaning physically he's clearly not an Isha. It's only for like legal obligations. More than legal obligations, also for transactions, perhaps, right? Meaning we learned Yet Shechra La La Meisha and other things. And obviously Mitzvah Shavan Grama, famously. This is discussed a little more in the Rishonim. The Shittim Gebetzir quotes the Tosos Rush, says the same thing as Tosos, he just adds something. What does he add? The Tosos Rush adds, one second. Oh, I think it might be in the back. Alright, so then I'll just Oh no, here it is. Vizel Lashon Tosi or Rashal. By the way, even when the Shiva gets this, just says Rush, he means the Tosis Rush. In Subas and Baba Kama, every place also. Whenever the Shiva gets says Rush, he means the Tosis Rush. He doesn't have to bother saying Tosis Rush, but here he says Zel Lashon Tosi or Rush. I might have thought Misvara La La Meisha L'inyan Mitzvos. And, you know, maybe, now it's not his mitzvah, but this is a detail of a mitzvah. The last sad, the Torah's Kohanim, Darsh, Minayin, the Rabbis, Gerim, Avadim, Tamalom, Rimarcha, Leah, Mashal, Erech, Ish, Mar, Bilhu. Because in Torah's Kohanim, it has a drush. You know, it's interesting. Later on in Daf Dal, Daf Hey, we're going to Darsh the whole Pasuk. Right, from Dabar, Bilhu, Shal, Lemar, Ishki, Afli, Neder, Erech, Kadabash, Shlashem, Mahaya, Erech, Kah, Zachar. We're going to Darsh in every word and even every part of the word. We don't have this drush in the Bible. But in this Sifra, they have this drasha via Marta Lehem L'Rabos Gerim V'Avodim, and he's assuming that means not Avodim Shuchrarim, who often go with Gerim, but Avodim Mamish, because it doesn't say Shuchrarim, just says Avodim Mamish. So he says, ah, well, hold on, La La Meisha. If there's no pasuk for an Eved, we learn La La Meisha. But if there's a pasuk for an Eved, the pasuk is Marve Eved, and it says Zohar, it says Mekeva. When the pasuk is Marve Eved, we don't need La La Meisha. So he says, because of this pasuk is more than Lala Meisha. It's being Marve Eved for everything it says in the Parsha, and everything it says in the Parsha is different than Zachar Nekeva. So he basically says, Misvara, like Nekeva, but I'll be Drush as Zeres HaKasav, like a Zachar. Okay, now let's just go to the Sforin and the Chizkuni. I think I put on the Makor sheet. It's not so explicit, but on... Right, it's interesting. This is not what the Rush said. If I was writing the Tosfos Rush, I would have said even better. I would have said, Mistaber Eved like in a Keva. I said, we have Lala Meisha. You know, Lala Meisha is a Drusha. We're not Karaites. We open the Torah Shabbat Fah. But you know, Drushas are often unclear exactly when they apply and when they don't apply because it's already very complicated. I would have said it's a Pasuk. What pasuk in the Torah sounds like Eved has Erech Misha? In Eved, Yigach Hashar Oama, Kasef Shol Shem Shol, Limitain Lad, Lav Hashar Yishlak Yal, Shol Shem Shol Eved, right? We mentioned that a little last time of Eilun Aris also. Shloshim is the Erech of an Isha. Hamishim is an Ish. So we see from Parshat Mishpatim that an Eved has an Erech of an Isha. That an Eved's worth Shloshim like an Isha.
But it might depend on the age.
Okay, so you will say to me, well, it's not such a good riot because in Mishpatim it doesn't depend on the age, so maybe that's not relevant. Okay, but it's at least a Havamina. Says the, and it's not just a Havamina, says the Chizkuni and the Sforno there, says the Chizkuni, Kesef Shloshim Shkalim, Kfi Erech Nekeva, Mbes Esmer Shanat Dashishim, David V'Isha Ki Adonin, and who govern La La Meisha. And the Sforno says similarly, Ki Kamo Inyan Eved Bekiyam, okay, he actually says maybe even a little different. Which I'll come back to in a second, but what does the Chizkuni say? It says, Lo la me'isha an Eved Shloshim, like an Eved Shloshim, like an Isha. Why doesn't it depend on age in Mishpatim? So you have to say, somehow in Mishpatim, just to make things simpler, to have a unified price, there's a low plug of some sort, and it doesn't depend on age. It's a great question. Why it doesn't depend on age? I don't have a great answer, but if you ask Meheki Tesi Shloshim, Mechitesi Shloshim, right? Why Shloshim Shel Eved? So says the Chizkuni and the Sforno there, and Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, that I brought it today, but I apologize yesterday. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman's not there. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, they just published Shmos, but I didn't check it. And it's from notes, but in Vayikra here, says, because Erech Eved is Kinekeva. That's why Shloshim Shel Eved. In which case, they don't answer all the questions, but clearly, say, Erech Eved is like Nekeva, and says the Chizkuni, La La Meisha, the Sforno says, Ki Mitzvah is like Nekeva, obviously, Ki Mitzvah is like Nekeva, is La La Meisha.
But if the Shloshim Shel Eved is a Knas, that would mean it has nothing to do with the actual damage that was done.
Nothing to do is strong.
Nothing, like much less to do.
Okay, but nonetheless, that the Rishonim say, but if the number had to come from somewhere.
Who's 50 by narcissist That's a value.
No, that's Gemara of Psulos. It also came from someplace.
But
all right, Adrab, you just hurt yourself. Okay, so I'll cut the conversation up here. Agav, there are other, this seems to be good proof that Erech Eved is like a Nekema. So if we hear it say, Erech Eved, obviously by Shifka there's no Nafkamina. Tosfos and the Tosfos Rush say, Kizachar, but the Mashmos of the Chiztuni and the Sforno and the Furish Reb David Tzvi Hoffman says Kinekeva. What did I say? I just separated them. The Chiztuni and the Sforno are in Mishpatim. They're not talking about Hilchos Erev, and they're in Mishpatim. They clearly imply, since they bring Erev into Mishpatim, the Erev and Eved is like Kinekeva. Reb David Tzvi Hoffman is even, he's on Parshas Erevin, and he says, we learn from Mishpatim that the Erev of an Eved is like a Nekeva. Now, let me just ask a question. What is, and I'm going to get back to, give me a second to meander, and then I'll get back to what you really want me to say. What is the yesod of the machlokas? What's the nekudas ha-machlokas here? Whether Erech Eved is like Zachar and Akeva. Now, this is clearly not the nekudas ha-machlokas, but you do, that's never so good, you do have to explain Shlosh and Shalevet, right? If you take the Chizkuni, Sforno, Dov Tzvi Hoffman, not, you can, they do, it's like, that's where they get it from, Shlosh and Shalevet. If not, what about according to Tosfos and Tosfos Rush? So you have to give a different explanation. What's the different explanation? Okay, David wants to say Stam, Malpi Sod, I don't know. I found two different explanations in the Rishonim. None of them are great. One of them is a lot less than great. But I'm sure there are more out there possible. I'll just give two examples. The Mor Nevuchim said half of a Ben Chorin. He said, an Eved is half of a Ben Chorin, nothing to do with Zachar and Akeva, and since a Ben Chorin is 60, an Eved is 30, which would be a wonderful shot, except for the fact that a Ben Chorin is not 60, and all alumnus in the world is not, you know. It's not like the Rambam made a mistake and thought of it. I mean, this is not the mistake that, you don't think Gadol to not make this mistake, right? I mean, this is Zilkri Ve'Rav, a fourth grader shouldn't, if he is bright, shouldn't make this mistake. So, no one knows what the Rambam meant. Did he mean Chomesh, but then it doesn't fit the right halachos of Chomesh, and then no one knows what the Rambam meant, but that's what the Rambam says. But obviously, it's not such a great explanation, we don't know what he meant. The Abarbanel, I don't fully know what he means either, but the Abarbanel, not in Mishpatim, the Abarbanel in Erechin, by Yukrecham Zion, he says that, I'm not sure what he meant, but he says that, because you weren't really so guilty, you didn't really mean to do anything, you were just negligent with your ox. Therefore, what you did wasn't really so bad. Since what you did wasn't really so bad, then it's enough to just take the lower of the two options of people, since there's an option of Zachar, an option of Nekeva, 50 and 30, it's enough to take the lower option because what you did isn't so bad. Meaning, a human being could be 30 or 50. Heck, the taka, there are different genders. But theoretically, a human being could be 30 or 50. Well, take like a more makil model as a kula, because you didn't actually do anything, you just weren't careful enough with your ox. So he said, it's just kula, because you didn't damage the eved actively via dayim, you just were negligent, and there, you know, maybe you have excuses. Okay, so he says just a kula. So he says it is just a kula, because you didn't actively do anything wrong. Obviously, passively you did. But since you didn't actively do anything wrong, it's just a kula that will, like, bring it down, even if he's a Zachar, will give him the Erev and Nekeva. Not because Eved is like the Nekeva. Just a kula because it's only your ox.
I don't really understand the Havamin at all. Just because it's 30 and 30. It's two separate cases altogether. The Torah gives you 30 for an Isha and 30 for an Eved. It happens to be 30 in both cases, but it's not related.
Okay, or just say, Nezikin is not related to Erechin at all. You understand why the Rishonim were reluctant to do that, because they like to explain how everything fits in. But you could say Nezikin's not related to Erechin at all. Mehechi Tesi Shloshim and Nezikin. From someplace else, they found Shloshim and Nezikin. What's the someplace else? I don't know. What's the date? Who knows? You know, whoever wrote Parshas Mishpatim has a lot of things that he knows that we don't understand. So we trust him on this one. Yeah, okay. And 50, it says tomorrow, Absulos. So that's not a good question. Okay, but there must be...
Why is that more absurd?
God, just saying there must be some reason. Okay, I got, by the way, though, someone proved to me from someplace else in Chumash that really Erechin do generally match on the value of Avadim. We're in Chiddush. Where's the only place in Chumash we find the sale price of an Eved?
Yosef,
how much was he sold for? 20, and how old was he?
17.
Okay. So we do find a correspondence, right? Meaning, the Peshuta Shel Mikra, all the historians say, that, the amounts in Parshas Erchin are the prices of Avadim in the time of the Chumash. Maharaya, Yosef was 17, was sold for 20 shekel, so a 17-year-old is 20 shekel.
The Midrashim say Yosef was sold for 20 shekel.
That is a good hara.
The Midrashim do say that.
Okay, or at least some Midrashim. Maybe not all Midrashim. Okay, Yesh La'ayin. Yesh La'ayin.
Meaning, to say that the Rav and Gordon Mokhov is completely not like Sadat, that's so clear, you have to understand why he says that. Meaning, if it's a function of mitzvos, if it's a function of...
Okay, but clearly he could easily have said Nekeva and been done with it, and he clearly was matriach himself to make all kinds of calculations. He could have said this and couldn't have been done with it. He was matriach himself to make calculations. You want to say, but on a certain level there's a common denominator, but it's still striking that he didn't just say the Chizkuni and be done with it. He could have said, an Eved is like an Isha, Shalosani Eved, Shalosani Isha, and therefore an Eved is 30 and been done with it. He's matriach himself to say something else. Okay, what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas here? I'm going to, what it's so and so of the Achron is one shot is, it's about a drushot. You could say it's a machlokas about drushos. Tosfos hold that the Amarta Alehem L'Rabos Avadim, right? Here's a drusha. Why is the Erech Zachar? Because of a special drusha. All you have to do is you don't have that drusha. Right? Either say we don't hold like the Sifra. After all, the Bavli doesn't make that drasha, and the Bavli also goes through the Pasuk. Why didn't the Bavli make the drasha? Maybe don't hold to that drasha. Or maybe it meant Avodim Mishukhrarim. Okay, that's a Chiddush. But since it's next to Gerim, and usually Avodim Mishukhrarim next to Gerim, it's not crazy. Maybe that drasha meant Avodim Mishukhrarim. Maybe we don't hold like that drasha. So that's a very technical way. It's just, if there's a drasha, there's a drasha. If not, not. Okay, not much to analyze. What the man de Achron like to say is... What?
It's not even like introduction to the whole parasha. Like, it's not... I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that it was connecting to that something like the Menorah that came after.
Okay, theoretically you're right. Theoretically you could say even if there is a drasha. Okay, so hold that thought for a second. Here it could be a machlokes about Eved. It could be a machlokes about Eved. And here, the main makor for this lumdus is the first Menchas Chinuch, Sifkat and Gimel, right, who deals with the fascinating questions in Eved Chayim Peruvu. Right? Which is very parallel, right? I mean, on the one hand, he's male, and male is Darko Lishbosh, etc. On the other hand, Lala Me'isha. They also discuss, is it Eved Chayev in... And Eved Chayev Peruvu is Taka Machlokas. Machlokas in Tosus in Chagiga, and Tosus in Gittin. They have similar questions. Is it Eved Chayev in Bris Mila? On the other, on the one hand, he has a part of his body that men have that women don't that has to do with Bris Mila. On the other hand, Lala Me'isha. They also discuss it in Eved, Osir, to be Mashpis, right, Pasa Rosh, and Makin Pasa Zaki, right, to shave his pace. On the one hand, he has facial hair, whatever name of the hormone is that gives you facial hair, he has it that men have and women don't. Is it testosterone? Okay. On the other hand, Lala Me'isha. So, the Achronim discuss this, he quotes a Mishnah, quotes a lot of Achronim, and it's easy to machlokes Rishonim. What does lo la me'isha mean? Does lo la me'isha mean specifically in mitzvah seishas man grama lo la me'isha? Or does it mean in all halachos lo la me'isha? And then we'll have to address more of these problems somehow. Maybe we'll find a reboy or something. So is lo la me'isha specific in mitzvah seishas man grama, or is lo la me'isha apply to kol tar kola? Or theoretically you could say, is it only in mitzvahs, or is it even in dinim? Or another way you could say is that if there's a drasha, is lo la me'isha only when we didn't know he was chayiv yet? He's mechayiv him like a woman, or even if we know he's mechayiv, we take him down from the chayiv. So they could be arguing about lo la me'isha. For example, here they hold lo la me'isha. Do you say it only applies to mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, or you say that it applies to all halachos? Or theoretically, I mean, I don't want to just be marbe possibilities, but if you wanted to list all the possibilities, you could say, or you could say, does it only apply to kiyum mitzvos? I mean, maybe it applies to all kiyum mitzvos, but here it's not a kiyum mitzvah, it's how much he's worth. Right? It's not how he does it. He's an object, not a subject. Or it applies to, or to, let's say better, to chiyuv mitzvos. It applies to all halachos. Or you could say that if you do hold from the drasha, that it only is mechayuv. Sorry, am I in the wrong... I'm backwards, right? Okay, we're all following anyway. But, to mitzvah sasesh of hazman grama, or to chi of mitzvos, or when we didn't know an Eved was Chayav and we rely on the drushier. Well, lo la me'isha is only for mitzvah shezman grama. Not, nope, it's equation for all halachos. So again, it could just be how far, if you say lo la me'isha means everything they're saying, then everything they're saying is an erech of an isha. If you say no, that's only for mitzvah shezman grama, here it's not mitzvah shezman grama, or that's only for what he's Chayav in. Here the question is not what he's Chayav in, the question is how much you have to give for him. Or, if you have a drasha, la is only if you don't know he's Chayav, it tells you that he's Chayav. But if you know he's Chayav, it doesn't tell you he's potter. It's only a Chayav, not a poter. Let's say this a little better. Or, only a Mechayav, not a poter. If you don't know an Eved's included, so then he's included by law, let me get you like a woman. But if you know he's included because of a drasha, then it doesn't exclude him or take him down. Okay, that's the second way of understanding it. None of us are really happy yet. Because what we're thinking is that maybe, well, what's the other option? Here, a little methodology, right? Joey's throwing a little methodology. Right, there's a machlokes whether an Eved is like an Isha for Erchin. So there could be a machlokes about the relationship between Eved and Isha, or it could be a machlokes about Erchin. Right? Maybe it's a machlokes about Erchin. Here it's going to get subtle, but here's what's interesting. Why is a man worth more than a woman in Erchin? So why is a man worth more than a woman in Erchin? So, Xeris Akasav. Okay, fair enough.
But wait here. Right.
If you look at the Sforno, he says, I know he says in Shmos, Kasav Shlosham Shkolim, he says a little different than Chuskuni. Erech Hanakeva, Ki Kamo Ingen Eved Bekiyo Mitzvos, Ki Deisab Chagida. An Eved is Shlosham because he's like a woman for Kiyo Mitzvos. Who cares what he is for Kiyo Mitzvos? Like, so maybe he just meant lo la me'isha, but he doesn't say lo la me'isha. He says he's like a woman for kiyum mitzvos. It sounds to the Sforno like, because he does less mitzvos, his erech is lower. And that's before Shem Dov Tzvi Hoffman says with Dov Tzvi Hoffman, mikaven shel mekeva nitnu pachos mitzvos, muvan she'erech nikal me'erecha ish. Why is a woman's erech lower than a man's erech, but furish b'davzi hachman, because she has less mitzvos. Erech is a function of mitzvos. Now, I don't mean all erech is a function of mitzvos, because a 60-year-old has the same amount of mitzvos as a 59-year-old, and a 20-year-old the same amount of mitzvos as a 19-year-old. But he says when it comes to the gender issue, the difference between a woman and a man is based on kiyum, is based on kiyum mitzvos.
Well, what about that last Rashi about she's over 60? That the reason why she's worth, the reason why it goes down is because.
So he might say that's one factor, and then there are counterbalancing. There are partially counterbalancing factors, but only partially. If you say the difference between a man and a woman is based on mitzvos, then of course it goes without saying that the erech of an eved is like the erech of an isha, because he is even less mitzvos than an isha when you work it out. So if you say like Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, that the difference between a man and woman, right, meaning, let's just pretend this continues at the top of the board. Why is Isha different from an Ish? Why is a Zohar and a Kiva different in Erechin? Says Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, because of mitzvos. Pashut. If the whole difference between women and men and mitzvahs in the first place, then it goes without saying that an Eved has Erech Isha because he has less mitzvahs. It's a no-brainer. On the other hand, if you say that it's based on their work value in the Shuk, now, obviously it's Xeris HaKasa, right? But the Xeris HaKasa is to make a low plug. There are, you know, 8 categories, male, female, and 4 age groups, and you just fall into your category. Well, what's the category based on? If you say the category is based on the value of a person in the value of a person in the shuk, like we find if you would take Shuv Shal Mikra, Yosef was 17 years old and sold for Esrim Kesef. I don't know what Shuv Shal Mikra is, but perhaps if you would assume that Yosef was sold for 20 shekel, and here it's 20 shekel, maybe that was just the price of avodim in the shuk in those days. And we find opinion that's not really right, because that's also a ritual purpose. That's not right. But if you say...
I assume that that was the price in the shuk, but that's not really the price, because they're going to sell them at a profit.
Who you mean?
They bought it to sell them later, right?
That is a good question. That's already getting too economical. That's too economical. Are you an economist?
No.
Okay, that's already too economical for me. Okay,
if they got it for free, there's no question.
No, he means the Yishvelim. Okay, but if you say that it's based on their work value, you know, when you're little, you can't work. When you're bigger, you can work more. When you're adult, you can work a lot. And when you're old, then, we're afraid you're not going to be able to work for long enough. Then a man was worth more than a woman in the old days, in the shuk. I don't know what it's like nowadays. Most of our countries don't have such shuks anymore. But a man was worth more than a woman because the man did more work, more valuable, hard work in the fields than a woman did. And therefore, it's just a physical difference. If it's purely physical, then it's pashut that, I mean, not pashut, but the simple shot is, like, forget it. If it's a matter of kiyum mitzvahs, who needs lola me'isha? It's pashut. And if it's a matter of physical things, also who needs lola me'isha? Lola me'isha, this is getting into Morty's point. What, a man's allowed to sleep with an eved, it's not mishkav zachar? Of course it's mishkav zachar, even if he's an eved. There's no lola me'isha, because that's physical. That's a physical fact. Lola me'isha is for ritual and legal statuses, not for physical facts. Here, if the physical fact that he's worth more in the shuk, then it's mistabra that everyone should agree that, like, what does this have to do with the chakira of lola me'isha and puravu and mila? Those are legal ritual statuses. Here, it's a physical fact. So it could be that you just ask why there didn't men and women in the first place, if it's to their physical strength. Then pashut an eved is erech of a man. If it's because of their kiyum mitzvos, pashut, that an eved is erech of an isha.
But also by, I mean,
Bibagratov.
For those who want to say that mitzvah sasesha is not grama, because an isha open to be has other sukim and whatever, so then you can say also, how did that happen? It doesn't happen.
Okay, you're just
in for Doshin time.
No, but your question is right, but your question has to be bumped one step up. Mm-hmm. how can you say that's the reason she has less erev in the first place if it's really she has other things? Okay, I'm going to leave that with Sarah Ian for now.
An Evid isn't his own person. I mean, clearly, an Evid, from that reason, the Evid should bless. He's not his own person. He's not free to do anything. He's subjugated to his master.
I'm just saying that the question is even stronger than you think. Your question is correct. It's just stronger than you think. And for example, a lot of our Akronim say, right, a woman can make a bracha mitzvah shemang brahma because, like, she has Kedushas Yisrael just as a Torah, well, an Evan can't make a bracha mitzvah shemang brahma. She's chasher miskedushin in the first place. It means lala me'isha does not mean an equation. In many ways, even in sort of very, very deep ways, women are more chayav in mitzvahs than avodim. Okay, we'll leave it up to Tzarkian. Ellie?
It's hard to say the Tosfos Rashi on that side, since he needs to use the concept, meaning the whole parts of the Erev in the first place, can you tell me...
That's a good Ha'ara, meaning it would be easier to say this for Tosfos than for the Tosfos Rashi. Of course, there is a middle possibility, which is what all the Mepharshim say, just, you know, perhaps we don't know what to make of it. Most of the Mepharshim do not say like Rav Zvi Hoffman or what the Sforno sounds like based on Chiyuv Mitzvos, and do not say that it's based on your physical value in the labor market, which is, I assume, what the... You know, the historians would say, oh yeah, it's just based on the Metzius. Most of the Mepharshim say the difference between men and women is based on metaphysics. Because metaphysically, men are different than women, not Kiyum Mitzvos. Metaphysically. Kiyum Mitzvos is something very practical that we can put our finger on and say, well, either Chayv or Potter, we can tell. Right? Metaphysics. Right? The Teferes Yisrael says, because a woman is Achas Mitzalosav, if there are two Tzlos and she's one of them, then her Erech has to be half. And therefore, you half of 50 is rounded off to 30, half of 5 is rounded off to 3, and half of 15 is rounded off to 10, and half of 20 is 10, and Shalom al Yisrael. The Rabbanel starts talking about Homer and Surah and other things that are too deep for my proper comprehension. So if you say, and that's even without getting into Kabbalah, this is only Stam metaphysics. So if you say it's based on metaphysics, then we're not really going to be able to prove much one way or the other. How do you know metaphysically what an Evid is? I don't know what sphere he comes from. I don't know any of these other things. There might be people who have theories. I'm sure this is dealt with, but it could be there's more than one opinion. So if it's based on metaphysics, then that could sort of go either way. Right? If it's based on a metaphysical difference, then that becomes a question mark. So, if it's a physical difference, it seems clear which side the Evid should go on, Tosfos' side. And maybe that wouldn't match Tosfos Rashi because you wouldn't even need a pasuk. If it's a difference between Kiyum Mitzvos, then it's clear which side he should go on. If it's a metaphysical difference, like many of the Mepharshim say, then Tzara Ion, and I'm not sure that would be open-ended. Okay. So that's all I have to say for now for our discussion.
When you ask how much does a person work, I mean, what do you mean? Is the moral, is how much mitzvah, a big down chacham, or is how much money does he make in the stock market? How much he can sweat?
Right, I mean, that's the question of what we're doing here. When we have these evaluations in Erechim, are these just practical evaluations of what they can schlep, but we make a low plug? You know, for certain age groups, are these evaluations based on their mitzvos, although that explains gender better than it explains age? Are these something, yeah,
I don't know. I'm not like Nidor, I mean, based on what people
think. No, because Erchin is, I mean, it's not Lashem Ne'adam. You say Erech of this person, you mean the Erech said in the Torah, I think, with Kuli Alma. Okay, the continuing in the, yes?
W.T. Hoffman, so the Erech of an Evid is less than the Erech of a Koy?
That is a fascinating question. What about the Erech of a Goy? Now, it's about Machlokes Tanoim about Goy. Right? Meaning maybe, the answer is he doesn't address it. It would work out much better if you hold Goyim in their Rachid. I mean, even if it's based on Kiyum Mitzvah, it would work well the whole life of Yehuda that Goyim in their Rachid Legamri, there is no Erech to Goyim because they have no Mitzvah. Okay, they have seven, but basically, Leibniz Rashi says that's accidental. In philosophical terminology. Okay, let us go on to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, we have a few minutes, let's at least try to make start in the Gemara. Hakol Maricha Lasuya, Maing Lasuya, Mufla Samach Le'ish. What does Hakol Maricha include? Right? All Hakols include every Masechet that starts with Hakol, we have a little Hakols. We have the most Hakols in Erechin, by the way. I'm fairly certain Erechin has more Hakols at the beginning of it than any other Masechet. If I was... if I was darshaning, I don't mean darshan like to give a useful drasha. I just need to like analyze from a literary perspective why does all what hakol shofthin and hakol mamirin, and they all discuss hakols, but Erkin discusses more hakols than any other sentence. Why? So I would say maybe because the Abravanel points out that Erkin are funny. He says, why not just evaluate how much everyone's worth? So he says, no, it's pasnish to start putting dollars, putting price tags on people, and figuring out how many dollars and you're worth more than your neighbor and you're worth less than your neighbor. He says, it's not respectful to a human being to say, this is what you're worth, and try and figure out how much everyone's worth compared to the next guy. On the other hand, he said Erki alive, so we need to have something reflecting the value. Says therefore the Torah gives age brackets and genders and general rules, and that way you have, you know, a bit of differentiation of people worth different things, but you're not denying the dignity of the person by valuing him in particular, you're just putting him in an age bracket. And the Abravanel says the Torah's trying to find a balance here between trying to be realistic about the fact that different people are worth different amounts, without making it a personal judgment and being, you know, overly fine in our distinctions. So if the whole parsha of Erkin is all about, you know, the need to balance, you know, recognizing differences between people, without overemphasizing and being overly nadaic in differences between people, then it would make sense, al pi drush, that dafke b'seches Erkin, you should analyze every hakol and shas to see when we include everyone and when we don't include everyone, because that's basically the same question, you know, as all of shas and all of halacha. On the one hand, where do we include everyone and make everyone the same and very egalitarian in order to respect the dignity of each person, balanced with the need to have substantive differentiations when necessary between people, right? Anyone reads the newspapers? Apparently that's still a big issue even nowadays. But that's really what Hakol is all about. Right? When are you inclusive and when do you make differentiations? So it's very mistaber that the first couple of blot would go through every Hakol and Shas, Dafkin, Mesechus Erkin, even more so than Mesechus Torah and Chulin. Okay, but our first Hakol, Marichon Lasuyemai, Lasuyemuf Lahasamuf Le'ish. You should look at the Maribel if you have a chance. It's very nice at the beginning of Chavs, Parakov Zayin. Muf Lahasamuf Le'ish means an almost adult, right? An almost bar mitzvah boy or bat mitzvah girl. It says katan is not ma'arif, but we know we have a rule of all of Nadarim, which is taka learned from Erevin. Right? Ish ki yafli is a mufla, ish is only ish, but ki yafli has a mufla ha samach l'ish. Samach l'ish is probably intended to play on words. The word ki yafli is samach to the word ish, but it means mufla samach l'ish, that he's samach l'ish, he's about to become a man, and the same would be a woman, for this purpose, because he's almost old enough. Okay, we include a mufla samach l'ish, can do all nedarim, like an adult, a special reboy, mufla samach l'ish. What does mufla mean? At least Rashi says, it's called mufla, meaning, it always says, kiyaf, lilindor, etc. If you go through Nedarim, and doing dafyomi, you've seen the machlokas, whether Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Tarfo, whether lamindor, el hafla, or not. Hafla seems to mean very clearly saying what you mean in Chazal. The Pashtunim argue a lot about exactly what hafla means. But hafla, if hafla means clearly saying what you mean, that's what seems to be pshat in Chazal. Then mufla ish, only an ish, but kiyafli, anyone who knows that clearly say what they mean, meaning they understand Inyan Adarim. They know who they're being known there to, they know Inyan Adarim. So you see, mufla samach la ish, the kiyafli is samach to the ish. So if you are, Rashi says, it's called mufla because we check if he really knows how to be mafli. If you really know how to be mafli, you're almost an adult, then you're Nidarim Archal. It's a machlokas d'oraisa d'rabbanan, and we seem to paskin even mi d'oraisa. Okay, what's a mufla samach l'ish? Here we get in a little bit of trouble. Because, John? Different age groups in Nedarim are mefurash. The different age groups in Nedarim are mefurash mishnah in? Mefurash mishnah in? Nida, right? The Tosi Yantif quotes. Right? Mefurash mishnah in Nida says this. Okay, John, you remind me by Monday to buy a better eraser. I feel like I have a chalkboard again. You know, and I forgot my clopping outside the window. Right, who's old enough to understand that? Right, to be the monitor who gets the clopping outside the window? Yeah. Okay, that's I'll explain it to you. It says, Mefurish in the Mishnah Nedarim, it's like in Mishnah Nida, Daf Mem Hei, Perek Vav. that there are three age groups for Nedarim. Under, if here we'll just have a boy and a girl, under 11, 12 is Nedarim don't work. No matter what, don't work. Right? From 11 to 12, or 12 to 13, Nivdokim. We check to see if they really understand the idea of Nedarim or not, and if they really understand it, then it's chal, if not, not. From then the neder is chal, and we don't have to check. Doesn't matter. Even if they fail the test, it's still chal. I mean, assuming that they're not a shilta. Simple pshat, you would say, so what's a mufla samach le'ish? What is mufla samach le'ish? Mufla samach le'ish is, it's not the old person, that's an ish. It's not the young person who has no nedarim, that's not nedarim. Mufla samach le'ish, like Rashi says, mufla, you have to check if they're mafli or they're not mafli, is the year before godless. Simple pshat is a year before godless. There's actually a big deal in the Achrona based on the Rishonim. In Sota, like, what if they bring Shtei Saros when they're 12 and 3 months, when he's 13 and 3 months? So does the year of Mufla start from 12 and 3 months? Okay, but without getting into that, the simple shot is that Mufla Samach Le'ish equals Shana Lifnei Godless. Right, that's a simple shot, the Shana before Godless. What does Tosfos say? Mufla samach le'ish ben yud be'shan av yom echad shesamach le'ish ben u'ish ad yud gimel v'yom echad. Okay, mufla kari le. Al shem shabot k'nosom yodei l'haflos. Right, you check in. This is Tosfos. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Rashi ben yud be'shan av yom echad shesamach le'ish ben u'ish ad shiyav v'shnei saros. Okay, Vishnu says, actually ben yud gimel shana. Gets it has him saying the same as Tosfos. Even Rashi from 12 years, and Taki should know, he's not really Ish when he gets to 13, he's only Ish when he gets to 2 Saros, but it's still the year before, let's say, it would be, he would be godless, right? So, clearly, the Gersa of the Shikin Kupetzes in Rashi, and even our Gersa in Rashi. Even our Gerson Rashi says, like, from 12 until he gets to Saros. So it sounds like maybe it could be even a Shana before, even if he doesn't get to Saros right away. So say he gets to Saros at 13 and a half. So he's a Mufla Samachlish maybe from 12. But okay. So here, what's the difference between the Gersos? This is what the Achronim sound like. The Achronim sound like the difference in the Gersos is, what if... he only grows Saros at 13 and a half. Okay? So, Girsat Hadfus. In Rashi, sounds like he's still Mufla Samach Le'ish from 12. Right? He says, he's not a double till he's 2 Saros. So he's Mufla Samach Le'ish from 12. Meaning, for the time that you're a year from when you could have Saros, it's good enough. Rashi and Tosos and Nida, I didn't put them in the course sheet, but Rashi and Tosos and Nida say it's only from 12 and a half. Okay, that's a technical machlokas, which might be more than technical, might tie into the whole discussion of the Reb Chaim Bat Bonhoeffer and Kisimanim, which we discussed when we learned Yevamos, if anyone was here then, but not for now. Okay, but basically, the year before godless is Mufla Samach Le'ish. The only subtle thing is, like, what if he's 12 or she's 11? We think it's a year before godless, and it turns out their sorrows come a little late, they're a late bloomer. So then Rashi sounds like still from 11 you're Mufla Samach Le'ish, because the year before you could have been a gadol. While in Nida, Rashi and Tosfos say, no, then Lafrey, it's only a year before you bring your Saros. Okay, however, the original Gerson Rashi was not what we have printed and not the Sheet of the Metzis. Right? How do I know what the original Gerson Rashi is? I mean, nowadays I could probably even look up the first printing of the Talmud on the internet. I'm sure it's there someplace, and I'm sure there's Kisvayat on the internet also, but already the Bartanur here. The general derech of the Bartanur, by the way, it's important to know the derech of Achronim. The general derech of the Bartanur is that he always starts by quoting Rashi. If he says something, you should be 90% certain he got it from Rashi. That's the general mahalach. Like, if you want to see someone else repeating what Rashi says, how they formulate it, it's a good, and it's on a mission, it's a good thing to look in the Bartanura. If you want to understand the Bartanura, good thing to look in Rashi. His derech was to start, he started with Rashi, and then started working. So, he quotes from Rashi, HaKol Asuri Ben Shloshes Reishanav Yom Echav Elohevi Shtei Saro Shu Marach Muflo Samach Le'ish. Muflo Samach Le'ish means he's 13, but he's a late bloomer and he doesn't have Shtei Saros yet. And that was clearly the original Gerson Rashi. The original Gerson Rashi could be a mistake. I don't mean what Rashi says. I mean, when they first started printing the Gemara, that was the Gerson Rashi. What did Rashi himself say? We have no idea. We have no Kisvei Yad from Rashi. We have Kisvei Yad from a couple hundred years after Rashi, before the printing press, and then we have the first printing press, and the Kisvei Yad, so, I don't know what Rashi thought, but the Kisvei Yad that we have of Rashi and the first printings of Rashi say, Muflo Samach Le'ish Ben Yod Gimel Shanav Yom Echad Shu Samach Le'ish Ve'enu Ishat Shiyavi Shtei Saros. If he's 13, he's almost an Ish. Why? Because he's not initially a Shtei Saros. He doesn't have Shtei Saros. How do I know that was the original Gerson Rashi? Number one, that was the Bartanura had that printed in his, or I don't know if he had printed, he had that written in his Rashi. But also, because in the back of the Oz V'Hadr, they put the Birkas HaZevach. The Birkas HaZevach is written by the Baal Tefer Shmuel on the Rush. Rav Shmuel, I always have trouble pronouncing his name, Kaidaver. The Sefer Shmuel is on the bottom of the Rush, I think, maybe, in Moe. So he wrote a Birkas HaZevach on Kodshim, and since Kodshim was less learned than the other Starim, and less people of Magia the Girsa, it was until the early Achronim that they really started to be Magia the Girsa properly. And he says here, in the Hagos of Birkas HaZevach, he has Hagos, he has like a dozen Hagos on every page. He says, Rashi should say Ben Yud Bei Shana. Rashi should say Ben Yud Bei Shana. That's his Haggah. Obviously, Rashi said Ben Yud Gimel Shana. He's making Haggah and Rashi to change it to Ben Yud Bei Shana. And if you look, I think in Akdamah, they actually have a whole thing, an academic thing here about how they printed the Gemara. All of our printed text is based on the Birkas HaZevach. Our printed text is based on the Birkas HaZevach, a little some Kodshim, right? Until the Birkas HaZevach came along, when the Sansino family printed in Italy their Gemaras, and when they had their Kisvei Yad, Rashi said Ben Yud Gimel Shana. That was the original Gerson Rashi. Again, I don't know what Rashi himself wrote. All I know is that's the historically older Gerson in the Kisvei Yad, what Rashi himself wrote. No one knows. Basically what he said is, I know that's the original Gersa, but it's a mistake of a scribe in the 14th century. Rashi didn't mean it. But the original Gerson in Rashi was...
was Girsa Hayashana Rashi, and the Bartanura actually said that's true, right? Because that was his Girsa Rashi. He was going with Rashi. He didn't have to get into it deeper than that. He was happy with Rashi. Is that Mufla Samach Le'ish equals Ben Yud Gimel Obas Yud Beis the low heavy saros.
And he doesn't have simanim.
If Mufla Samach Le'ish is not the year before, meaning Mufla Samach Le'ish is not the year before, that's mentioned in the Mishnah Nida. Mufla Samach Le'ish is, if you are old enough, it's just a rare case. It's very rare. Not only nowadays, it's very rare. It's very rare because I never asked any doctors nowadays. The only reason I know it's rare is because of the Gemara. Because Rabbah says in the Gemara, it's a chazaka that everyone, when the boy is 13, the girl is 12, that they do have shtei saros. And it's very rare that they don't. Right, so lachal maisa, we don't let them be parsha zocher just in case, but we let them be a chazen and, you know, and do everything else, because all the drabbanim, because it's a all the drabbanim, it's a chazaka. But what if a kid has a problem? He's not developing quickly enough, and he's 13, doesn't have shtei saros, that's muflo samach le'ish. He's the right age, he's just missing a simon. That's muflo samach le'ish, according to Rashi. The Tosfos Yontif says, Hakol, Kosav Bartanura, and he says, the Chinur Pirush Rashi, he says, I know that was the original Yerush of Rashi, but it's wrong, it's a mistake. Yep, Magyar the Gersiv Seben Yud Beishanim Chinur Betosos, like it says in Nida, and it says in the Gemara Nida, that's the case of Mufla Samach Le'ish, which it doesn't say in the Gemara Gornida. But he, that's how he understands Gornida. Okay, so he has a problem because he's against the Mishnah. Now, just who else holds like Rashi at Mufla Samach Lish? The Rambam. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that the year before God was, you checked the dart. Right? 12 to 13 for a boy, 11 to 12 for a girl. What if the boy is 13, the girl is 12, and they have no saros? Then, their neder is valid without checking. Regardless of what they do in the test. Their neder is automatically valid. And this is what's called umas nedarim, he says. And this is called muflas samach l'ish. Now, the Achronim argue whether, when the Rambam says this is called muflas samach l'ish, does he mean only above 13? Or does he mean under 13 is also called muflas samach l'ish? The simple shot of the Rambam is, but the, says the Rambam, and the Rambam, at least simple shot, he could mean that they're both Mufla Samach Lish. That's ambiguous. First he discusses 11 to 12. Then he says, and if you're 13 and don't have saros, then your dharma are valid. And this is Mufla Samach Lish, your dharma are valid, daraisa, even though he's not a gavul yet. What did the Rambam, did he mean this, only this case? Or did he mean both cases? Is not clear, but he at least meant like Rashi. Rambam, or maybe, I think the Rambam is like Rashi, I think it's a Pashup shot, but maybe this Machlokas Achronim meant both cases are called Mufla Samach L'ish. I'm skeptical, but okay, I've seen both in the Achronim. But the Rambam Pashup shot is like Rashi, because he says, you know, Pashup shot is like Rashi, because the Rambam says, and then with this we have to end, we're not going to get to that Geshmak of Nimiluim, but he says, he says, if he got to 12 and 13, afli shalom yivir shtei sairos, duy yonos nedarmu b'chol makom, their nedarmu automatically good, hold the yilash negadol nedarim hayamim, okay, this is me, Divrei Torah. It sounds like he's immediately discussing above 13, just without Saros. Unless you want to say he's discussing two halachas ago also. Okay, now, what about the Mishnah Nida? Isn't this against the Mishnah Nida? What about the Mishnah Nida? So, what about the Mishnah Nida? So for the Rambam, it's really no problem. Right? For the Rambam, it's not no problem. Why? Because the Rambam says 13 and up, their nedarim are valid without checking them. 13 and up is without checking them. He would just say, because he says, sorry, he says a mufla samach l'ish is a neder even without bedika. So he has no problem with Nida. He just says mufla samach l'ish is the third case in Nida, not the second case in Nida. He's a little problem with the Gemara, but even the Rishonim already managed to get out of it. He just doesn't think mufla means you have to check them, right? He would disagree. Mufla doesn't mean you have to check in. If you know, you have to check in. Mufla samach l'ish is neder without bedika and is the third part of the Mishnah in Nida. But Rashi's very difficult, which is why everyone changed the Gersa. Meaning, why didn't they just say Rashi holds like the Rambam? Why did they change the Gersa? Because he doesn't hold like the Rambam. He's different than the Rambam. Rashi holds they have to check the guy, and the Rambam said before you don't have to check him. So the Rambam says you don't have to check in and fits the Mishnah Nida. After 13, you don't have to check in. Rashi, the problem is he says you have to check in after 13. That's against the Mishnah Nida. The Mishnah Nida says you only have to check in before 13. Right? But for Rashi, it's very difficult. It's Mefurish in the Mishnah, the Achar Yud Gimel, Ein Bodkim, Oso, Ella Rak, between 12 and 13. Right? So Rashi is difficult, because Rashi says you have to check him after 13, that's against the Mishnah Nida. The Mishnah Nida says you only have to check him before 13. So what's the case? The case is he doesn't have Saros. So Rashi says if he doesn't have Saros, after 13 you're checking. But no, even before 13 you're checking. So,
but you're checking you're two things you're saying. You're talking about checking him, does he understand what he's doing? And then checking physically.
No, I'm talking about checking to understand. Checking that, when I say Bedika, I mean to check that he understands.
When he's 12, the checking of the Saros might have no value.
No, I'm not talking checking Saros. I'm checking if he understands. The Mishnah Nida says, if he's 12 to 13, a boy, you check if he understands. If he's 13, it works regardless. Rashi says, what happens? If he's 13, you check if he understands. The implication of he's 12, you don't check. It doesn't work regardless. It's a steer of Reshes. So the only way I know to defend Rashi is either, maybe the Birkas Zemach was right, and it was a mistake in Gerson Rashi. Just because the older Gerson doesn't mean it's right. Maybe Pak was a mistake in Gerson, or the Teferis Yisrael. Teferis Yisrael defends Rashi, and the truth is, if you go for the Shak of Atari Nida, which we didn't, it actually might come out as a reasonable shot. So the only answer that I know of, I actually saw in a footnote someplace, says, oh, the Rambam holds Rashi holds like the Rambam, which is nonsense. He doesn't hold like the Rambam. The Rambam holds over 12, oh, 13, Mufl Son of the Ish. And it's always a valid answer. Rashi holds Mufl Son of the Ish, and you have to check how smart he is. So, Lechora, the only answer is that the Teferis Yisrael right here in the Yachin and Boaz. Right? The Teferis Yisrael is just the name for Yachin and Boaz. Right? He named half the Yachin and Boaz. What's the name of the whole book? Teferis Yisrael. So, what does the Teferis Yisrael say here to defend Rashi? If you want to keep the original Gerson Rashi, the only answer is the first Yisrael. What does he say? He says, the Mishnah in Nida is with Saros. With Saros, 12 to 13, you have to check how smart he is. 13 and up, it's automatically good. Without Saros, 12 to 13 is automatically bad. And above 13, you have to check him. Meaning, Saros without Shanim equals Shanim without Saros. Right? And what's Rashi's Shita then? And then it's a Shita. If he has neither Saros nor Shanim, it doesn't work. If he has either Saros or Shanim, then you do a Bedik and see how smart he is. And if he has both, then it always does work. And now there's no steer anymore. He's talking that if he wasn't maybe Saros. If he wasn't maybe Saros and he's 13, he has one without the other, you check him. Till he gets Saros and he has both. The Mishnah Nida is talking about with Saros, from 12 to 13 he has one without the other, you check it. After 13, it's automatically good. So that's the only way to defend Rashi. It's still very radical. It's neither the Rambam nor the other Rishonim. And Rashi elsewhere in Shas is like Tosos. So we should add to this Rashi Bishar Hashas. So you might just say the Birkas Zemach is right, change the Gerson Rashi, Shalom Al Yisrael is only two Shitas, everyone in the Rambam. Or, as the Birkas Zemach says, you could defend this Gerson Rashi. Maybe Rashi, when he wrote his Pirush on Erechin, held a little differently, and himself was remained a little differently, and you could defend it. Okay, the more Lumdish aspects that have to do with Mufl Samach Le'esh, we'll have to save Amir Tzashem for next time. I didn't get a chance to finish writing the Makoros for next time yet, but I started them out, so everyone can just take a copy on your way out of the first half of the Makoros for next year, and then I'll email out with the second half as well. Have a great Shabbos, everyone, and welcome to the new faces.